Hi, it's Christopher O'Reilly. You know, it may surprise you to learn that the United States really hasn't had a national youth orchestra for over 60 years. That is until last year when Carnegie Hall launched the National Youth Orchestra of the United States. And let's just say their sound is incredible. And you're about to take all that in because they're the centerpiece of From the Top's podcast this week. Turn it up and prepare to be blown away.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. 120 strong, ages 16 to 19, from all across America. Among the best teenage classical musicians in the country. World-class conductors and coaches, all culminating in an amazing coast-to-coast tour. Today, meet the National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America. Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome. We're at the Performing Arts Center at Purchase College, SUNY, the State University of New York, where the National Youth Orchestra of the USA has been conducting a two-week residency, preparing for this broadcast and its subsequent tour. Hello, NYO. Many countries have national youth orchestras where the top players from local and regional youth orchestras gather, but it wasn't until last summer when Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute inaugurated this ensemble that this country had its first youth orchestra made up entirely of its best teenage musicians. As Joanne mentioned, one of the hallmarks of the Carnegie Hall program is that it brings in absolutely top conductors to work with these kids. So, let's meet the man who's taking these kids on the road, starting with a concert at Carnegie Hall, the music director of the St. Louis Symphony and chief conductor and artistic director of the Sydney Symphony Orchestra. Welcome, David Robertson. David, a great honor to be with you, and it's been so great watching you work with these kids. I'm wondering, what was it like for you stepping onto the podium and conducting these talented and enormously well-prepared young musicians for the very first time?
I guess they were so well-prepared, I thought, oh no, I'm not going to have anything to say. But it turns out that we bonded immediately on the music, and the enthusiasm that they had was so tremendous that I was immediately, you know, off of the podium a couple of feet as they were playing. And in fact, in one of the rehearsals, I asked for a really cool crescendo from almost nothing, brass and strings to go from pianissimo to fortissimo in three notes. And they did such a great job, it split my baton in two. You know, it's that kind of energy.
Good. Yes. Throughout this show, we're going to be hearing these outstanding teenage musicians under your baton, but we'll also hear their voices. Each of these kids has a story to tell about their musical journey and where it started.
My name is Soyoung Park, and I play the violin. And before I came to the United States when I was 6 years old, I did not play the violin very seriously. But then I went to hear the Philadelphia Orchestra one night, and that just completely knocked me out, and I fell in love with the violin.
My name is David Yoon, and I play percussion. When I was really little, I started off playing violin and piano, and I was so terribly bad that my mom forced me to choose a less noisy instrument. And so I guess that's how I ended up on the drums.
My name is Cassie Pilgrim, and I play the oboe. I started in fifth grade, and I thought the oboe was very unique, but everybody told me not to play it because it was the hardest instrument in the band, and so of course I picked the oboe.
I'm Josh Davidoff. I'm the apprentice orchestra manager with the National Youth Orchestra, and I play clarinet and saxophone. I think my love of music really started when I first heard a recording of the Weber clarinet concertino, and I realized that classical music had some value.
My name is Chad Lilly. I play the saxophone, and I started the saxophone in fourth grade. My dad's an audiophile, and when I was 8 years old, he showed me the track Take Five from the Dave Brubeck Quartet. And I was so interested in the saxophone sound, I eventually took it up and started playing Take Five for him. In fourth grade, I had no intentions of going into classical music in my head whatsoever. In fifth grade, I started taking lessons, and here I am in the National Youth Orchestra introducing the first piece. So this is the Prologue and Mambo from Bernstein's Symphonic Dances from West Side Story.
Thank you.
the National Youth Orchestra of the United States, under the direction of David Robertson, performing the prologue and mambo from Leonard Bernstein's Symphonic Dances from West Side Story. We're going to learn more about this superb orchestra now by speaking with two of its members, 17-year-old violist Tess Jacobson from Bridgewater, New Jersey, and 18-year-old oboist Gabriel Young. He comes from Ashland, Oregon. Well, you guys, that really, you know, sets the bar for that piece forever. My gosh, it was just astonishingly good. Very exciting. Just very exciting. So, how do you get into this orchestra? Gabe, describe the audition process.
The audition process to get into this orchestra consists of an online application and a video submission. And the parts of the video are each player plays a solo and a series of orchestral excerpts, and then answers a question in a video essay format.
Tess, we've got to take a moment to listen to a segment of your video essay because your approach was just so, well, viola-ish.
I was asked to describe the personality of my instrument, but I think it would be more effective if I had my viola tell you himself. So, Mr. Viola, how would you describe your personality? I see. So, you feel sort of beautiful and rich, but also neglected and misunderstood, am I right? Oh, you're a middle child. I'm a middle child, too, I understand. So, your older sister, the violin, overshadows you and gets all the attention, while the cello gets all the fun bass notes. How does that make you feel?
We've always heard of viola. The viola sort of speaks late, but it's the first I've heard of it not speaking at all. Creativity does have its rewards. You were accepted. So, Tess, what's it been like so far?
Well, my experience so far has been really incredible. The coolest and probably newest thing about NYO for me is the feeling that we're all kind of representing the young classical musicians of the United States. The first day that I got here, that we all got here, I got to meet all these really, really talented people from everywhere in the country. I don't think I've ever seen so many Minnesotans in the same place. And the really, really incredible part was probably the first rehearsal, getting all of us together after meeting everyone and being able to make music with them all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gabe, you were part of the National Youth Orchestra last year for its inaugural tour, which sounds like it was incredible. Where all did you go?
The tour last year consisted of 5 shows, so we started here in Purchase, and then went down to Washington, D.C., played at the Kennedy Center, and then went overseas to Moscow, where we played the conservatory there, and then to St. Petersburg, where we played at the Marinsky II Theater, and then to London, where we played in Royal Albert Hall at the BBC Proms, and we were conducted by Maestro Valery Gergiev and Joshua Bell soloed on violin, so it was amazing.
The Proms at Royal Albert Hall really has that kind of electricity to the audience. I'm so glad that was the last stop on the tour. In a few days, you hit the road for the orchestra's first American tour. Tess, what's the itinerary this year?
Well, we give our first concert right here in Purchase, and then we go to Carnegie Hall in New York, and then we head up to Lenox, Massachusetts to play at Tanglewood, and then down to Boone, North Carolina, then Grant Park, Chicago, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and the Grand Teton Music Festival, Sonoma State University in California, and we finish up in the Walt Disney Concert Hall in L.A.
Not too shabby. And I guess this year, for soloists, you have Gil Shaham in tow, so that's going to be spectacular. A note to our listeners, that complete Carnegie Hall concert can be heard on WQXR.org. Tess, Gabe, really great speaking with you, and wow, look forward to hearing more.
Thank you.
Tess Jacobson, 17-year-old violist from Bridgewater, New Jersey, and Gabriel Young, 18-year-old oboist from Ashland, Oregon, members of the National Youth Orchestra of the USA.
The kids in this orchestra play with such exuberance and commitment, you've just got to see them. Go to fromthetop.org and check out a video we've posted there. Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. In addition to hearing the full National Youth Orchestra today, we're going to feature members of the orchestra in other roles. First, a soloist. From Baltimore, this is 18-year-old clarinetist Silvio Gitian. Silvio, tell everyone what we're going to play together.
We're going to play the first movement of Saint-Saëns' Clarinet Sonata.
Silvio Gutian, 18-year-old clarinetist from Baltimore, Maryland, performing the opening movement of the sonata for clarinet and piano in E-flat major by Camille Saint-Saëns. Silvio, that was completely disarming in its intimacy and thoughtfulness and meditative quality. It was like just the two of us in this room full of thousands of people. Just a beautiful performance. A lot of kids at your musical level, like kids in the National Youth Orchestra behind us, have spent their summers at music camp. Your summers, however, have included something a little different.
Well, I've always enjoyed hard work and manual labor in addition to music. And throughout the past five summers, I've worked on a free-range chicken farm near my house. And they have about 500 chickens and a couple turkeys. And I take care of the birds and mow the grass and do any kind of work they need. And it just gave me an appreciation for just incredibly hard work, because I would work one day and then I would have to take the whole next day as a break because I would be too tired.
Yeah, using the heavy machinery, building the chicken coops and stuff like that. Yeah. Silvio, you've attended also a great art school in your hometown of Baltimore. Tell us about that.
Well, I've had the wonderful opportunity to be a part of the Baltimore School for the Arts for the past 4 years, and it's just been full of wonderful opportunities for me. I've seen inner city kids and just come from almost no musical experience to wonderful musicians studying at Peabody and other wonderful conservatories.
Well, clearly you've got a lot of joy in your life and bringing a lot of joy to all the rest of us with that beautiful performance and all your fine work. Silvio, great having you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Silvio Gutian, 18 years old, from Baltimore, Maryland. Today we're honored to be doing a show with the National Youth Orchestra of the USA. And now that Silvio is back in the woodwind section, it's time to hear the entire orchestra again. This time in a brand new work written for them by the young American composer Samuel Adams. Sam, that must be you. Welcome. And David Robertson, our conductor, is joining us on his way to the podium at the microphones. Sam, at the age of 28, you've already established yourself as a strong and original voice in classical music. I know that among your accomplishments, you've written works for the St. Lawrence String Quartet and the Berklee Symphony. And congratulations, I hear that this coming season, the San Francisco Symphony will be touring a piece they commissioned from you. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
And the National Youth Orchestra commissioned you to write the piece we're about to hear. It's got an interesting title, Radial Play. Uh-huh. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, all of the music in this piece kind of orbits one single pitch, which is the first note in the piece played by the harps. And as the piece unfolds over its brief duration, the music kind of expands and contracts around this one fixed point. And as this is happening, all kinds of textures and sonic tapestries emerge. That's my piece.
It's a wonderful piece, and I can't get over the fractal radiation of ideas and sounds. It's a wonderful piece.
Well, they're doing a really fantastic job with
it.
So.
David, you're a huge champion of new music. The first time I heard you was at UCLA with your EARCOM ensemble from France. But you're normally conducting a professional orchestra in new pieces like your own St. Louis Symphony. How have these teenagers done with this music?
You know, they've done amazingly well because they really do identify with music that's, you know, composed by someone who's of their time. In a certain way, it's easier, I think, for a lot of young people to identify with music that is contemporary with their lives than actually sort of jumping into the context and the mindset of music that we think of as, say, the great classics.
Well, we're very excited now to hear the world premiere of Radial Play by Samuel Adams. ¶¶ the National Youth Orchestra of the United States, under the baton of David Robertson, performing the premiere of Radial Play by Samuel Adams.
If you're wondering what it would be like to see these amazing performers in action, hop over to our YouTube channel. There you'll find video clips from each and every show, behind-the-scenes features, even content created by the young musicians themselves. Go to youtube.com/fromthetop.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need, on the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Performing Arts Center at Purchase College SUNY, where we're hearing the teenage musicians of the National Youth Orchestra of the USA. Coming up, music from Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. This program with the National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America is made possible through a partnership with Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute. Special thanks to New York Public Radio and WQXR. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Back at the mic with us is Maestro David Robertson, the music director of the St. Louis Symphony and chief conductor and artistic director of the Sydney Symphony Orchestra, and this year's conductor of the National Youth Orchestra of the USA. We were speaking earlier, and it reminded me of the wonderful anecdotal way you have of giving ideas to the young players of the orchestra, the idea of a concept being a matter of context, not a matter of technical thing, but really giving it meaning and giving
it
context.
You know, the same thing, and you, with your incredible piano skills, you know that the technique is there so that you understand what it is your muscles are doing and how to realize certain things. But the technique always has to be at the service of saying something. And, you know, this is what's so remarkable about working together with an orchestra, because all of these different specialized techniques, all of these young players are already experts in how to do what it is they need to do on their own instrument. And that in and of itself is amazing. But what really is just passionately exciting for me is taking all of that different expertise and putting everybody together at the sort of service of one goal of making this music as crystal clear to the public as possible, so that each member of the public comes in and hears their own experience of the piece in a way that is untarnished by any sort of blemishes that we might put that could be technical, or even more so, any blemishes where, like an actor who doesn't clearly articulate the words of a famous speech, we're able to make sure that everything in the music comes through with such a distinct purity that it expresses, that it continues to express without boundaries.
Well, you're well aware of the world of the pre-teenage and teenage classical musician, and aware of how hard it can be to stick with all those hours of practicing. As a matter of fact, lots of kids who appear on this show hit a wall at some point in their musical studies and want to quit. Since the accomplished members of the National Youth Orchestra obviously decided to stick with it, we thought we'd ask them for their stories and advice.
I'm Josephine. I play viola. This last school year, I didn't exactly consider quitting, but my parents were very clear that they would support me in doing anything I wanted to do, but I really had to do that. And so I found that through trying to expose myself to new inspirations in lots of different areas and from lots of sources, I was able to reconnect to why I love music.
I'm Karthik and I play the cello. There was never any time where I wanted to quit, but there were a lot of times where I didn't want to practice.
I'm Cassie, I play the oboe, and there have been plenty of times where I felt so frustrated with the instrument I chose, but it's important to remember why you love it and why you continued to play it even through all the bad times, so that's something that you can hold on to.
I'm Daniel, double bass. There was a time when I did want to quit my instrument, but that was kind of comparable to getting a divorce with a kind of woman that was about a foot taller than you and had a much deeper voice than you. So it was kind of intimidating to me, so I couldn't exactly detach myself from it, so we made it work.
I'm so young and I play the violin, and my mom always told me that the violin is like a big jewel that you have to carry throughout your life. Practicing is hard, and the jewel is really heavy, but you have to keep at it and drag the jewel along, or else you never get to know what the jewel is worth at the end of the road.
Two of the voices you just heard are coming forward from the orchestra to play chamber music with me now. Orchestra players sharpen their skills by playing in smaller ensembles, as these teenagers are about to prove. They are Soyoung Park, 17-year-old violinist from Princeton Junction, New Jersey; Karthik Popatla, 18-year-old cellist from Mequon, Wisconsin; and to complete our piano quartet, here's Martine Thomas, our violist, 17 years old, from Rochester, New York. I'm joining these kids in the final movement, Allegro Molto, of the piano quartet number 1 in C minor by Gabriel Fauré. The finale of Fauré's Piano Quartet No. 1, played by members of the National Youth Orchestra of the United States. So Young Park, violinist at 17 years old, Martine Thomas, 17-year-old violist, and Karthik Papatla, cellist, 18 years old. I had the pleasure of playing the piano. We're going to have the pleasure of talking with our young violist, Martine Thomas. Martine, you know, Fauré must have had a love affair with the viola. Every movement I can name, you know, of his chamber music, it always starts with a viola solo. And you really, oh my gosh, I was just grinning from ear to ear listening to you.
Thank you.
Just beautiful performance. Martine, having the chance to collaborate closely with you, it's no surprise that the National Youth Orchestra would want you to join their ranks. But you have a great story about how you learned you were accepted.
Well, I applied, I guess it would be 2012. I went through the application process that Gabe described, and I sent it off with kind of a one in a million chance that I would be considered as an alternate, certainly not accepted. And the night before the results were supposed to come out, I got excited. And I knew there wasn't a chance, but I stayed up until midnight waiting for an email. Didn't come, and so the rest of the day during school, I was checking my email on my phone just at every moment, while the teacher wasn't looking, between classes, under the desk. Finally, in English class, my phone buzzed, and there was an email from the National Youth Orchestra. But I couldn't tell from the subject line if I had been accepted or rejected. So I quickly asked to go to the bathroom. And once I was there, I opened the email and I saw that I'd been accepted and just couldn't believe it. And my parents were also ecstatic. It was a feeling similar to being accepted to college. Mm-hmm.
Very exciting being mm-hmm. here, huh? Having a good time?
Absolutely. Every so. Moment.
Growing up as you have in Rochester, you certainly benefited from the wonderful community at the Eastman School of Music, but you've described your life as straddling two worlds there.
Well, I feel like I live in one world at Eastman and in another one at the high school where I go. Eastman has a wonderful community of musicians from all over the Rochester area who are very committed to music. And my high school is an inner city school that has a lot of poverty. Most of the students are minority students, I think about 90%. So going between my school and the Eastman School, where most students are white or Asian and upper middle class, it's a very different experience. And I feel that being between those two worlds has been really valuable to me. Just being able to see those two different perspectives, which are so often polarized.
Perspective and context in particular is something that's come up now and again, certainly informs your life and your wonderful music making. It's just great working with you kids on the Fauré. Thanks for playing it. Best of luck with the rest of the program. Martine Thomas, 17-year-old violist from Rochester, New York.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Chris.
David Robertson, this year's conductor of the National Youth Orchestra, is back with me. And David, we started this show with quintessentially American music, symphonic dances from West Side Story of Leonard Bernstein. We're going to end with an equally emblematic American piece. Will you introduce to our audience what it will be?
This is a special arrangement of the symphonic suite from Porgy and Bess by George Gershwin, a special arrangement for the National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America.
Before we hear this, a quick word to all you aspiring young musicians out there. The National Youth Orchestra of the USA selects a whole new group of teenagers every year to go on tour. You could join them. Go to carnegiehall.org/NYOUSA and apply. David, I want to thank you and the entire National Youth Orchestra of the USA for helping us make such a special From the Top.
Well, thank you. I know I speak for all of my colleagues here on the stage when I say that it's just a delight to be here to do this program with you and for everything that From the Top does for all sorts of young musicians right around the country.
Great pleasure and honor.
Thank you.
Before we hear this, Gershwin, let's end with a few more voices from the kids in the National Youth Orchestra. Most of the kids in this orchestra are in their late teens, and they're thinking about the future.
Ideally, my line of sight is towards teaching at the university level and performing as much as I can.
I would like to double major, maybe at Harvard NEC or Columbia Juilliard, and then maybe work for Carnegie Hall, and maybe work at something related to NYU USA.
When I grow up, I hope to be an orchestral percussionist in a world-class orchestra and be teaching at a conservatory.
One of the biggest goals that I have is to make a difference in the world. I've had it since I was very little. And so I would have a performance-based career, but I would also love to teach in another country or teach in the school system.
Next year, I'll be at Harvard, and I plan on studying applied math or engineering.
Well, I've always wanted to be a doctor in Africa, and even if my career takes off in that direction, I know that music will always be a part of my life. I will always play it and love it.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. Orchestra mix by Silas Brown, with Jeremy Kinney and Adam Pietrakowski. The executive producers of Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And from Joyce V. Hale, in the interest of engaging an informed and civil electorate. This is NPR.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.